Hey guys, what's up? It's Tommy with Just Stuff. I just want to thank you guys for coming through and checking out episode 3. This episode's a little different than the others. It's a little bit longer, and we really didn't know what we were going to talk about until we actually started recording. It's a little something we're going to try to do maybe once a month, where we take ideas from the live stream, or we take ideas from messages or comments from the Facebook page, and we try to touch base on stuff like that. So if there's anything you guys would like to hear us talk about in the podcast, let us know. Message us on Facebook, and we'll be sure to touch base on those things in the podcast. All right, guys. Thanks, and enjoy. Amner? Yeah. Three times.
Definitely three times. We're live for three times.
Three. I'm Tommy. Of course, you guys should know that by
now. And I'm Amner, also known as HK Stubman.
Gotta get that plug in.
Gotta get it in.
So how's the week been?
My week's been pretty good, man. I got laid off.
Ugh.
So, you know, that was part of the week. Thursday was my last day of work. So I've had a lot of stuff to not do through the week.
Yeah.
What about you? What have you been doing this week?
I'm contemplating. Deep contemplation.
Oh, yeah? What about?
Oh, yeah. Life in general.
Life in general. Well, what about
very
life
hard.
In general, man? I mean, come on. Tell us. Let your fans want to know.
My fans. Oh, the fans. I think we're referring to the listeners as fans now.
Yeah, of course. I mean, if they're listening, they have to be fans, right?
I've been seriously considering trying to get back. You guys forgive me. I'm being fat and eating. Trying to get back into music.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So that's a good one.
By the way, guys, if you didn't know this about old Tommy Spivey here, he's a great musician. He can sing his ass off, and he can play the guitar. Yeah, that one.
I don't know. We're feeling kind of down this week. That's why it took so long. Sorry. By the way, guys, about why it took so long for the last episode to pop up.
Yeah, I had to light a fire under his ass for that one.
I got a little down. Had some head trauma,
yeah.
So to speak. Feeling lonely, man. Been looking for love. Neighbor girl just.
Well, I mean, after you say head trauma, you don't say I've been lonely in that kind of tone, because it sounds like you beat the shit out of your dick. I'm just saying.
You saying I don't?
I'm not saying you didn't. No, but I'm just saying you can't use it.
Man,
the
you
same
get bored,
sentence.
Man. You get bored.
Just, who just walks around having boring sex? Even if it's with themselves.
People have a lot of sex. Especially with themselves.
Yeah.
Just gets boring after a while, man.
I guess.
You just want green M&Ms, man. Sometimes you want some blue ones. I'm gonna get a dip. Oh, man, guys.
I don't know, man. While we're waiting on a couple of the people to get in here from the live audience, we can go ahead and start on some of these topics that I have. So
what do you have?
I've got one topic. I don't know. I might save it for next week, or this may be something we can get into a little deeper next week. We can delve into, but
yeah,
or the week after, because next week we have an idea, or you have an idea per se. What are we going to be talking about next week? Let's give the listeners something to kind of look forward to here.
There's one or two. I've got them kind of tied up in the air. I'd like to cover stuff like some sort of mental illnesses, like
manic depression,
stuff
like that.
Yeah. Bipolar stuff like that.
OCD. Oh, bipolar, bro. Let me get my sister in here, who thought she was bipolar, and ended up being clinically proven that she's not. She's just kind of crazy.
Like, well, everybody has a stigma about depression, and it's like, well, you got to be sad if you're depressed. No.
Wrong. Look at Robin Williams.
That is completely incorrect. It's completely incorrect. People with actual depression spend most of their time
making other people
being
laugh.
Happy to make other people happy, because that's the only happiness they can really experience.
So we'll get into that for sure next week, or maybe. What's the other one? What's your other topic?
I wanted to delve into the underground, the deep dark underground of
like the black market shit.
Yeah, like streaming.
Streaming
and YouTubing and
maybe we can get a couple like of that. Buddies that I know from doing the job that I do.
The first ones that I think of would be the first two people that popped up into my mind that would be good to talk about stuff like that we both know is Spencer and David were the first two people I thought of.
Yeah, that's HK Inc. and HK Felix, right?
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh no, you're fine. I just
I use the government names.
Some people don't like it.
Ain't gonna be mad.
But those are two topics that we're looking into talking about next week. But today is rapid fire topics. So I'm just gonna come out the gate and throw out this topic that I've been thinking of that we may delve into deeper, like I said.
What are we doing?
Medieval torture devices.
What?
Yes, you heard me correct. Medieval torture devices. Like, it just randomly popped into my head today.
Like, back in the day, man, they knew how to torture people, man. Let's do it.
So, I'm going to hook up my second monitor here, so give me 1 second.
Yeah.
I forgot to do this.
Uh-oh. That's how he cheats. He cheats, guys, when he's on the podcast. We don't actually do research, per se.
It's more of a spur-of-the-moment kind of thing.
So bad. In case he's not here to keep us busy, so, like, two of us can't be talking while the other one's looking stuff up on their computer.
So, well, I mean, it's more of, like, today's just kind of a spur-of-the-moment kind of thing, but I do do my research. I do do my research. I tried to do it before.
Sorry.
Oh, you're fine. Give him something to listen to, brother.
Oh, yeah, man. Get some keys. So, peace. My body all over your body, baby. Oh, I'm sorry. Got into it a little bit.
Medieval, is it M-E-D or M-I-D?
M-E-D. M-E-M-E-D. Yeah, M-E-D. I think. No, I don't know. I think it's M-E-D, though, for real. Medieval times!
Medieval torture devices. There we go. So, Wikipedia is always the best one to go to, I feel, because it's not only, like, true shit, it's also shit that people have come up with. So we're gonna start with the chair of torture.
Oh, that doesn't sound pleasant at all.
There's a lot of different variants of the chair that we're going to talk about. apparently, they all have one thing in common. Spikes cover the entire backrest, armrest, seatrest, legrest, and footrest.
Huh. What?
The amount of spikes on the chair range from 500 to three times that.
That would be 1,500.
Yeah.
Spikes.
Yeah.
A lot.
That's 1,500 needles and spikes, or whatever you want to call them.
That'd be terrible. Sit down on. Like, I always, you know, man, you see them videos on YouTube about them guys in, like, India and stuff. Like, just over there in the East. And they'll be, like, laying on beds of nails and shit like that. And I'm that's like, how?
Basic,
like,
yeah, that's basically this, except for this. You're literally, your wrists are tied to the chair. Oh. Two bars push the arms against the armrest for the spikes to be able to penetrate the flesh even further. In some versions, there were holes underneath the chair's bottoms where the torturer placed coal to cause severe burns while the victim still remained conscious. What the fuck? Wow. Like, could you imagine that? Like, there's holes underneath the seat of the chair. Okay, so that's not just burning you. It's literally burning your rectum.
Oh, God. Oh.
Like, and you can't move. If you move, it's you're going to get punctured.
Well, that's...
So you have two choices here. Lift your ass up and dig the spikes into your back and arms and not get your asshole burnt. Or...
Oh, God. Or just let you... Oh,
Or...
But think about this. My argument for torture... Here's my argument for torture. A lot of people believe that torture should still be practiced this day, like actual torture like that. The argument for that is that it actually does work. And it does. I'll tell you anything you wanted to know if you tortured me.
Shit, I'll tell you anything if you want to know if you've got fucking hot coals underneath my asshole. And I can't move away from it. Like, you ain't even got to put the spikes there. Just put hot coals underneath my asshole.
Just show me the chair. Whoa. What is it? Do you got some paper?
Just let me write it down for you. I'll even sign it. I'll sign it.
Look, you need... Look, I'll show you, man. Let's go. Where's the car at? I'll take you there.
But,
Look at that.
So, not only did they use coal to cause severe burns while the victims still remained conscious, but there was different versions where there was weights placed on the victim's thighs or feet to pull them down into the spikes.
That's insane.
What is it? The Brazen Bull that was the fucking wedge?
The Brazen Bull, they used that in that movie. What was it? Immortals?
Oh, no. Yeah. Which one was it? Yeah. The fucking
big bronze bull.
Yeah, that they burn people in. And cook them alive. Yeah.
Fire and cook them.
Yeah. What was that? What was the one called? That was the giant wedge.
I don't know.
The giant wedge that they put weights on their ankles and it would pull down on them and split them in half slowly. They would slowly add more weight to the person and would slowly split them in half. Yo, Ramston, what's going on, brother? So we have a live audience right now. So you will be hearing me talking to a live audience for everybody that's listening to the edited version of this. Rams, you're walking into rapid fire topics of discussion. And the first topic discussion tonight was medieval torture devices. So we're talking about medieval torture devices and how they were used and things like that. So that's the first one. If you have anything, if you want to hear about anything, I'm doing just quick research and we're talking about it and just what we feel about the topic itself. So
you just want to know our opinion.
If you want to know our opinion on anything, literally anything, bring it up and we'll talk about it.
I said that.
But I don't remember what it was, but they put them on a wedge,
and that's
they would
terrible.
Tie. Yeah, it would slowly split them in half, and it started from the gooch or the taint, whatever you want to call it, and they would just put weights on their ankles, and it would pull them down and split them. What that chair is, except for it's pulling them down into 500 up to 1500 spikes.
That's so bad.
My life.
Me too, Rams.
Okay, so that was not the only version. Those weren't the only three versions of it. There's also another one. They would... the instrument's strength lies primarily in more in a psychological fear. So basically, like you were saying a minute ago, is show me the chair and I'll tell you anything I know.
Yeah.
And they would often use the victim's fear to scare them. Yeah. And it was a common practice to extract confessions by forcing victims to watch someone else be tortured with the chair.
Oh!
So in order to get someone to talk, they would not only show them the chair, but they would show them how the chair was used. Yo, Rams, what's your good news, brother? Like I was saying, not only that, they would literally show them how it's used. Also, this is the most fucked up part about this thing. Is the time of death on this thing varied from a few hours to a day or more. Because
no way.
Because you sat there and you bled to death. You literally bled to death. Like, it wasn't like it punctured any vital organs. It didn't hit any main veins or anything, because obviously it's around your ass cheeks and your arms. And I'm sure they didn't have your wrist pointed down or anything. So you're probably sitting there with the spikes going into the side of your bone on your arm. So you would literally, like, I guess depending on how they had you in the chair, you could last from a few hours all the way to 2 or 3 days.
That's...
And which made it worse what made it worse was that the spikes would actually close the wounds. So they would penetrate, and then they would stop the bleeding in some spots. So the only reason you would die is if you moved.
And if you moved, you hurt worse.
Yeah, and if you moved, it made it way worse. So the more you moved, the quicker you would die. But also, the less you moved, the slower you would die. So you kind of got like this whole, how much pain do I want to feel before I die? Or,
I mean, you're in pain constantly.
Well, yeah, obviously. But you do grow numb to a pain.
Oh, God. It's like getting a tattoo, I suppose.
Well, yeah. I wouldn't say tattoo. It's more like working with a shovel for 7 weeks, getting calluses and blisters on your hands, and constantly having to dig and not being able to stop.
True.
So that's the way I would feel it. But it would be all over your body, though.
I used to actually dig ditches for a living.
Yeah, that's a fun job. I used to swing a 10-pound sledgehammer for the railroad, so.
Terrible job.
Ugh. Congratulations, Rams. Congratulations, brother. That is absolutely amazing.
I don't know what it is, but I'm happy for you, bro.
Well,
I'm no hater.
He's almost at 1,000 followers for a streaming career.
Oh wow, nice.
Okay, so that's the chair of torture. That's the first one that I have on my list. I mean, you've got, like, the boot, you've got the brazen bull, you've got the breaking wheel, you've got the breast ripper.
What?
You've got something called the breast ripper, yes. And then you've got the catapelta. You've got a choke pair. You've got a cattle prod. Everybody knows what a cattle prod is. You've got cold air and water. That, I can only imagine, is the worst kind of fucking
thing. It's terrible. Yeah, no, oh, man. It's like Chinese water torture where they just let it drip.
Except for you're in a fucking freezer.
On a forehead.
Except for it's been in a freezer, right? They've got you in a freezer and an ice chamber and they're doing that to you.
Oh, well, I don't know about all that. I know that they do it. Just normal temperature water, man. Apparently.
Well, no, that one, yeah. What you're talking about, yeah. But what I'm saying is, like, they're talking about using cold air and cold water.
Ugh.
So you're basically freezing to death faster than you would. And then you've got the electroshock weapon. You've got the instep borer. Okay, I'm interested. So the instep borer was a German medieval torture device.
Okay, that makes sense. Instep, I'm thinking that has something to do with your feet.
Well, we appreciate you coming through, Rams. If you decide to come back and you have anything that you want to talk about, or if you come up with something on your way around, just
slap
let us know.
Slap it up, man. Slap it up.
So, the instep borer was a putative medieval German instrument of torture that extremely resembled the iron boot. It was hinged to permit the free insertion or removal of a bare foot. Oof.
Oh.
A crank. Projected from a housing over the instep, which concealed a long, thick, serrated iron blade. Grooved so to inflict maximum damage. So it's like a fucking bread knife going through your foot. to promote liberal blood flow through. So to make it the goriest as possible.
Yeah, see, like, this stuff is rough, but this stuff like this is why I love, like, the Saw franchise.
Right. It's basically like the dude that cut his foot off in the Saw franchise. Yeah,
they're not even scary.
They're just super
so
gruesome.
Gory, and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, you can be in here.
I can edit your butthole face out.
So, turning the crank slowly, advance the blade into the boot, punching a hole through the center of the instep. The resultant wound was so large that it was not unusual for the prisoner to die of toxemia soon after.
Toxemia? What is... Just to get infected, I guess?
Toxemia. What is toxemia? Let's pull up another browser here.
Was that like toxic shock, maybe? I feel like that would be like something like shock.
Toxemia is blood poisoning by toxins from a local bacterial infection. So basically you're being poisoned by the other bacteria that's left on the blade.
Yeah. Basically going septic.
Yeah, pretty much. It's most common. That is most common during pregnancy.
In the instep.
Yeah.
In the instep of your foot. So that's like the high part of the arch.
What is the instep? Let's figure this out. We're learning together. What is the instep?
I think that's the part that never touches the ground.
The instep of the boot covers the top of your foot. So it's the top of your foot. And it literally goes from the top of your foot. So instead of cutting it off at the ankle, they're literally leaving the instep on your ankle and cutting everything else off below it. It's likely that the Iron Maiden of Nuremberg or Isrian Schamfroll, the instep boar is most reflective of myth than reality. The only standard source that mentions it, which the Library of Congress attributes to Richard Sarr, even though that the author's name appears nowhere in the work, claims to be based upon the Earl Sherbury's exhibit of devices from the Royal Castle of Nuremberg. That traveled the world after 1890, yet the catalog that fully annotes the Earl's collection of more than 1,000 pieces, including dozens of feet squeezers. So this guy, I feel like this guy just had an obsession with feet.
Yeah, his thing with feet, man. He was mad at him. He was angry at feet.
So, he basically made anything that variously and ingeniously tortured the foot and or leg with screws, crank, wedges, burrs, spikes, teeth, red hot coals, fire, and more. But it makes no mention whatsoever of the instep borer. So this thing could be a thing of myth, but it still sounds fucking gruesome.
That's rough, dude. Like, to cut your foot off from that.
Everybody also knows what the rack is, I hope.
Yeah.
So, the rack was basically something that you were basically on a wooden frame, slightly raised off the ground, with a roller at one end or both ends, and having one end with a fixed bar to which the legs were fastened, and the other a movable bar which where the hands and arms were fastened. Mm-hmm. The victim's feet to one roller and the wrist chain to another, the torturer would turn a crank handle, causing the ropes or chains to pull the victim's arms. Starting out with dislocation, I don't know if anybody has ever had anything dislocated on their body, but it sucks. It sucks so much. It's almost like a rotator cuff chair.
It sucks so bad. It hurts so bad to me. See, that when they do stuff like that, they rack them too, like... I've read stories about in medieval times, like people would just tie off to their saddles of their horses four different ones and tie them to people's arms and legs and just ride off and just take off running off four of them at the same time.
Yeah, well, that's so one bad. We'll get into, because that's kind of like the same.
That's so rough.
But it's called something else. But anyway. So start with dislocation, and then which I don't know if you guys know what dislocation is, but it's where your cartilage and ligaments to the bones end up separating or pulling far enough apart for your bones to pop out of the sockets that they were meant to be in.
That's so bad.
And you know, if they didn't get what they wanted, this was used for like a confession thing, or if somebody that did something really bad or they thought was really bad, they would just torture them slowly but surely. Because most of the time, what I had read before, I had done even this, what I'm reading here, is they would turn it once every hour after dislocation. So they would turn it. They would turn it slowly all the way up to dislocation, and that's where you would get the screaming and the yelling and things like that. And then after that, they would turn it once or twice every hour to pull them even further apart until eventually they either got what they wanted or the limbs were torn off.
Mm.
So your legs would be literally pulled out of socket and torn off from the pelvis bone. Your arms would be pulled out of the shoulder sockets, and you would be left with nothing but a torso. The method was, nice. So I'm reading this again. Now I'm reading this. The method was mostly used to extract confessions. Not confessing meant that the torturer could stretch more, sometimes killing their victims. Many knights from the Templar were tortured with the rack. The limbs were collected from this, and other punishments of the time were emptied by hundreds. Hundreds.
A lot of these were used during the Inquisition.
Sometimes this method was limited to only dislocation, but the torture would often go too far, rendering the legs or arms, sometimes both, completely useless. In the late Middle Ages, some new variants of the instrument appeared. They often had spikes that penetrated the victim's back. So what the fuck? Could you imagine just being pulled apart, and the more you were pulled apart, you had spikes pushed into your back? Because what is that? Who does that?
People that oversaw the Spanish Inquisition and the Crusades and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who did that? Oh, we should talk about the Salem Witch Trials.
I'm down with that. We can do that. Hey, JV, what's going on, brother? As the limbs were pulled apart, so was his or her spinal cord, increasing not only a physical pain, but a psychological one, being handicapped at best, too. At best, you were going to come out of that thing handicapped.
You weren't coming out of that. If you got stuck on something like that back then, man, you were dead.
Oh, no, yeah. Well, I mean, within a few weeks, you were definitely going to die. But, you know, that is what it is. That's just what the rack was meant to be. It was meant to be a torture device to pull out confessions. But it ended up being the sick and sadistic mind behind the wheel. Didn't care if he got his confession or not. I mean, he got his confession, obviously, but yeah, he was also didn't give a shit if he got
whatever
it.
Whatever he wanted.
So that's the rack. So we've been through the rack, and we've been through the chair. Now we're going to get into a little thing called the Brazen Bull, which I know a lot about because I love Greek mythology.
Oh, man.
The Brazen Bull was invented in ancient Greece by Paralos of Athens. Paralos proposed the idea of a more painful means of execution. This was meant to kill somebody so slow and so painful. The tyrant, Pheralus was the tyrant of Arcaga. Pheralus liked the idea of the brazen bull, so it was made. Once finished, Pheralus ordered it to be tested on Paralos himself, which was the guy that proposed the idea in the first place.
That's
so. If you guys didn't hear me right. You have Paralos, which proposed the idea of the most painful means of execution, to Pheralus, which was the tyrant. The tyrant ended up using this idea on the creator, or the idealist himself. Paralos was removed from the brazen bull before he died, but was later killed by Pheralus when he threw Paralos off of a hill. The Greek had specially engineered tubes to make the screams of the victim sound like the noise of a bull. Interesting fact. Those tubes came out of the nose, which is also where the smoke and the smell came out of. That's the only tubes and exhaust that the bull had, was in the nose, and they were pulled down through the nose and had the ring on it and everything. And it was pulled down through the nose into the stomach chamber where the victims were held. And most of the time they didn't have a side hatch. They had a bottom hatch on it. So these things didn't last long, because the hinges would eventually break, blah, blah, blah. This is just, this information isn't information that I'm reading. This is information that I've known about.
Like this thing, like you just put it over a fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just let these people smoke. They didn't.
So like imagine putting a
barbecue.
Basically, imagine putting a chicken before you plucked it, or plucking it first, which whatever you prefer, leaving it alive and then putting it inside a smoker, and listening to it run around, or if it could move, inside there and making the noises it was gonna make, or listening to a rabbit.
That's terrible. That's terrible.
I don't know if you guys have ever heard a rabbit.
The sound of a rabbit dying. It's awful.
Let me see if I can find a sound of a rabbit. I know this is rough, but we're gonna do it.
It's rough. If you've ever seen the movie Immortals with Mickey Rourke was in it. That's the one person I can remember right now at the moment is Mickey Rourke. He was the bad guy. He used one of those that was the brazen bull he used to torture three people in it.
Okay, so let's see if we can hear this. This is a YouTube video. I'm not gonna say by who, but it's one with a sound. So we're gonna listen to it and see if we can hear what a rabbit sounds like when it is in distress or being killed. It's not very loud in this video, but you get the gist of the idea.
Real high-pitched squealing noise.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's rough. It's a rough sound.
So that's basically... And then they put tubes in there to make it sound like it was the bull making the sound, or the sound of a bull. So how it was used, or what it was made of, I don't know if you guys know this, but back here, this was called the Bronze Age or the Brass Age. This is where bronze and brass and all of that were used to make weapons and so on and so forth.
A good age.
This here says it was hollowed out with a door on the side, but from what I remember reading in the books, there was they may have changed it over to the side. But it started out as the stomach on the bottom. That way they didn't have to touch the body as it fell out. They could literally just open the hatch on the bottom. It was a double door, and it would just swing out, and the body would fall. They could move the bull, didn't have to mess with the body. But the use of this was to place the victim inside the bull. He or she was slowly burned to death. The device gradually became more sophisticated until the Greeks invented a complex system of tubes in order to make the victim scream sound like, or more like, an infuriated bull. And so it made the smoke, and so the smoke from it rose into the clouds of incense. The torture is similar of being boiled alive. Except for in your own juices, yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's rough.
Can you imagine just getting so hot that you just... And not being able to do anything about it.
So the thing is, what fucks with me the most about a brazen bull is being burned alive. They have you naked in here. You have no clothes on.
There's no protection from metal. Hot, searing
metal. And I don't know if you guys have ever touched a hot stove or a hot stick or a hot... I can't say a hot stick because that's not going to do it justice.
Hot pan.
But like a hot pan or a hot a piece of metal out of a fire... And you grab it, and you let it go, and there's this white, crusty shit left on the metal? That's your skin. That's literally your skin. Okay, so inside this brazen bull, this guy is trying to hold himself off of the hottest part of the bull, which everything at this point is hot, because brass is one of the most conductive fucking things ever when it comes to heat. And he's touching the sides and he's holding himself off. And literally every time he tries to move to a cooler spot, his skin just peels off of his hands and his feet and his arms just to move to a different spot. It's that's rough. This is the most, like, I think I would rather go by the chair or by the rack than I would the brazen bull.
I think burning, drowning, or being lost in space are my three worst, biggest fears of dying.
But again, guys, right now we are talking about this, but if anybody has any subject changes, if you're getting a little too queasy about this, don't be afraid to throw something into the chat. Please don't be afraid to throw something into the chat. We can talk about something different. But this torture device was not used during the Middle Ages, but more, like I said, into the, you know, the Bronze Ages, yeah. Back in ancient Greece. But a more simple form of it was used in Central Europe without the use of the bull, and it was just boiling people alive.
Ugh.
So yeah. There's that that came with it.
That's getting along with kind of the witches. Too though, they used to do that to witches. I know they burn them
at the stake.
Yep, they do it. Yep, they drown them.
Which I don't know if you guys know this, but a stake back then wasn't just like a little fucking 4 or 5 6 inch piece of wood. A stake was actually a telephone pole carved out to stick into the ground, rocks, sticks, and some kind of kindling put around it. That way, the pole would burn. And not fall over. So they would start the fire at the bottom of the pole and it would slowly raise up. Most of the time they would use oil and stuff like that and soak the pole in it before they put it in the ground. That way when it started, it would go up the pole, catch the person that was attached to the pole on fire.
They did not light the person on fire.
They didn't let the pole on fire. And they used chains, not ropes like you see in the movies, because what sense does it make to use something that is flammable to tie someone to something that is being burned? That doesn't make any sense.
Some rough stuff, man. That's some rough stuff they used to do.
But
you believe in witches? You believe in witches, Amy?
Do I believe in witches? I believe. I believe it existed at one point in time.
Yeah, I think you gotta have more. I think you gotta have a lot of people who believe it for it to work.
Yeah, it's kind of like Tinkerbell.
Yeah.
You know. But anyway, so the next one we're going to get into is something called the Chinese Iron Maiden. And I don't know if you guys know this, but back in the day, the Chinese had the most fucked up minds when it came to torture. I don't know what the Chinese Iron Maiden is, so I'm going to learn with you guys.
I don't know if you can beat the Brazen Bull, though.
We're about to find out. So the origin of the Chinese Iron Maiden was... similar to the one of the 19th century, this device was first used during the Ming Dynasty. So way back then. So if you get into the Ming Dynasty, you guys can look up something that goes with the torture in it. Appearance, it stood like a coffin, but it... Oh, I do know what the Iron Maiden is. It was like the fucking room, the box, the fucking... the chokey. In Matilda.
Yeah. Are they have a version of it, if you want to use a more a different kind of movie.
But Sleepy I feel Hollow, like I don't Johnny know Depp. Yeah I know what you're talking about, but I feel like this is more, this didn't start here. I think they may have pulled the idea from Egypt, because didn't this start in Egypt?
Yeah, I believe they designed it off of sarcophaguses.
It was like
to trap people in the afterlife where they couldn't come back and stuff like that. It was like a torture thing, yeah, for people who did terrible things.
Okay.
And that's when you get stuff like people coming back as mummies and stuff like that and bringing the...
Right, okay.
Like, I really like the way Egyptians believed in magic and stuff like that in the afterlife, because, like, it's like, yeah, well, you can banish this guy from life if you want, but if he ever comes back and there's got to be a way to bring him back, he's going to bring back, you know, like...
the army of the dead with him.
And some terrible apocalypse. Like, every mummy
had some kind of plague, like, yeah.
Yeah, and it's great. I thought it was great.
Yeah, ancient Egypt was absolutely amazing, guys. If you ever get the option to look into some of the ancient Egyptian cultures and what the reason they buried the people the way they did or pulled their organs out the way they did,
it's crazy.
Do it. It is intriguing. It is so intriguing.
They had more respect for the dead and the afterlife than they did the living. They really did.
So the Chinese Iron Maiden It stood like a coffin, was raised on a platform with an iron gate at the bottom instead of a piece of wood, like the original Iron Maiden. This coffin was made of brass or iron, but unlike the Iron Maiden, it was optional to include spikes or not. So this is the difference between the Choki, you know, Matilda, and this Chinese Iron Maiden. The Chinese Iron Maiden was generally used to punish those who were not loyal to the king, but it was also used to set an example for other future wrongdoers. The prisoner would be locked into the coffin and made to stand on the grated bottom. The executioner would then pour water or hot coals, or the executioner would pour water onto hot coals as they placed them underneath the grated platform. The mixture of hot coals and cold water would create a cloud of steam that went in the coffin and steaming the person like a stalk of broccoli. So it's like a mixture. I feel like that could be worse than the Brazen Bull. Like, I don't know if you guys... I'd rather be burnt directly than having steam burn. Because I don't know if you guys have ever poured hot noodles into a sink and left your arm over the pot.
Just goes all over wave you, like... And you can't get it off of you. You're like...
Like, at least in the Brazen Bull, by the time you're dead, you're already numb to the pain. This one here, it's literally engulfing you. It's like being engulfed in flames, except for there's no fire to put out. You can't slap it out. You can't get away from it. And like this said, it was optional to include spikes or not. Lord, so if there were spikes in it, you're not moving.
Why do they gotta do it with fire? Why do they gotta do it burning people, man? God.
So that's the Chinese Iron Maiden. That's a fucked up way to go. I don't know. What else can we get into? We got the Pear of Anguish.
Oh no. Oh Lord Jesus, God in heaven.
Okay. So the Pear of Anguish, lives up to its name in this one. The Pear of Anguish was a pear-shaped instrument consisting of four leaves, which slowly separated from each other as the torturer turned the screw at the top.
Okay.
That was the appearance.
What's connected to the leaves?
It's one hour. So the uses of this thing. There's no contemporary first-hand account of these devices or their use. An early mention of a spring-loaded gagging device is in F.D. Calvi's. It's some French fucking name that I don't know French, guys. Sorry. So the General of Inventory and History of Thieves.
So you're telling me that this thing was so bad that even people who liked to torture people was like,
let's not put this dog, in a book.
That's fucked up, man.
Let's not write about this, guys.
I don't do that, man.
So this article was written in 1639, which attributes the invention to a robber named Captain Gorchou de Poloil, in the days of Henry of Navarre.
Oh, Lord.
Further mentions of the device appear in the 19th century. They were also mentioned in Gross Dictionaries of Vulgar Tongue, 1811, as choke pears, described as being formerly used in Holland.
See, the Dutch.
Is it the Dutch?
See?
Fucking
knew it.
They were also discussed in a book by Eldridge and Watts, superintendent of police and chief inspector of the Detective Bureau in Boston, Massachusetts. So this was actually used in the United States in 1897. While accepting the ordinary pear-shaped gags exist, they observed that contemporary robbers used no such device as Poloy's pear and cast doubt upon its very existence. So it was so bad that the guy that made it didn't even want to say that he made it.
So what did it do? I'm still losing. Like, we haven't.
I'm working on it. I don't know. Like device? I said, I'm reading it here.
I'm feeling like that's gonna go in your face. That's gonna go in your mouth.
What's the screw at the top? Okay, you got four leaves that separate.
And you open it up.
So you got four leaves that separate. You got four limbs. I'm figuring an arm in each limb. And as they pull you apart, they push you closer to the top, and as you're going closer to the top, the torturer is screwing that screw down into your head. Is what I'm getting from it.
Oh, but it's a gag device.
But we're getting to it.
Let's read it.
Fortunately for us, the diabolical invention appears to be one of the lost arts, if indeed ever existing outside of Calvi's head. There is no doubt, however, of the fashioning of the pear-shaped gag, which has been largely used in former days by robbers in Europe, and may still be employed in, to some extent. This is also known as a choke pear, though it's far less marvelous and dangerous than the pear of Beloyli. If I'm saying that wrong, let me know. Though there is little or no evidence of it being used by bandits, there's a number of examples of ornate or elaborate pear-shaped devices with three or four leaves or lobes driven by a turning key that rotates the central screw thread, which spreads the leaves. These are generally held in museums devoted to subject torture and described as instruments of torture by distension or evisceration. But not all, some but not all have small spikes of uncertain purpose at the bottom of each leaf. However, these devices do not seem to match the descriptions given by Calvi in the 19th century. So what I'm going to do here is, because I'm so interested in what the Pear of Anguish is, as I want to know what it was used. Okay, so the Pear of Anguish was a large device. It was not a large device at all.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
The Pear of Anguish was mostly used against women. These devices were separately created for men and women. One of these devices was invented exclusively for women's torture was the Pear of Anguish, known as the choke pear in the modern name for this instrument displayed in some museums. The Pear of Anguish is displayed at the Museum der Festung Salzburg in Austria.
So that's a German name. So it's
there is no contemporary first-hand accounts of these devices being used. However, according to their design concerning metal consistency and the style of the device, ought to date from the early modern period, circa 1600, the General Inventory of History of Thieves. Further mentions of the device appear in the 19th century. It was an extremely painful device used to punish women for women accused of inducing a miscarriage, liars and blasphemers, also homosexuals. So I feel like it was a rectal or a vaginal insertion kind of thing. However, I'm surprised you don't know this, Tommy. However, it was mostly used against women being accused of being witches.
Maybe I do, and it's just let me.
If I like look at the picture, and you will see it, and you like yeah, they do. You'll see it, and you'll be like, oh, I know what that is.
Yeah, that's probably what's gonna happen.
Okay, so the pear-shaped instrument was inserted into one of the victim's orifices, the vagina for men, or for women, or the anus for homosexuals or men, and the mouth for liars and blasphemers. The instrument, usually made of hard metal, possibly iron, consisted of four leaves that slowly separated from the rest as the torturer turned the screw to the top. Turning the key opened the leaves, causing massive internal damage. Provoked death, but was often followed by other torture methods. So this wasn't like the main torture method, but it was one that they did use.
Like if this was turned around and it was a sensual thing, that would be the butt plug.
Yeah, basically, that's what it is. Just get warmed up. That's basically what this thing looks like.
Just leave that in there, let it sit there while we do our business.
It's basically what it looks like. The Pear of Anguish was brutal, and many women who were tortured in the medieval dungeons had died from their injuries, so it did enough damage to kill the women. I'm sure it did the men as well, because I don't know if you know this, but you have a large vein that runs through your rectal area. that you can die within a few seconds if you're not careful. Choke pairs can be found in torture museums throughout the European area and variably crafted with artistic flourish, but their purpose remains clear. So basically, they're saying they look pretty, but they're not used for pretty things. So this one here that I'm looking at here, there's a museum in Spain that showcases a steel chastity with a choke pair attached to it. So they use chastity belts with this thing attached to it.
You ain't pulling that out, Bubba.
You ain't getting it off. There's no. You're not pulling away from this one.
God. Oh, Jesus. That is terrible.
So, man. There's the pair of anguish, everybody. Yeah,
that's the winner, I think, so far. That is the... That beats the Brazen Bull. That beats the Pokey, Brazen Bull, any of that wins. That wins.
Wow.
It's obviously the least lethal of the ones we've talked about. But after it's done,
I feel like it was the most painful.
You're going to want to die.
Because the ones that they put, I don't know if you were looking at, I don't know if you looked at these pictures, but the ones that they inserted into people's mouths actually had a very large screw in the center of them. And when they screwed the thing open, that screw would go further into the mouth and it would open their mouth more.
Yes, that's...
So not only were your jaws being dislocated or broke and your teeth being knocked out by this thing, you also had a 17-inch fucking screw hitting the back of your throat. So basically, back in the 1600s, don't talk shit.
Yeah, that was... Yeah, they believed in you being 100% back then, yeah.
So what do you know about dunking? Because this is the next thing we're going into.
Talking about dunking, like choking?
No, dunking.
Is there a difference? Or not choking, but I mean like dunking your head in water and shit like
yeah,
drowning?
Yeah.
I mean...
Okay, so I'm going to just get into it because you sound unsure about it. This was a form of punishment that was mainly reserved for supposed witches. The victim was tied to a chair, which was elevated with ropes or chains above a pond or a vat of water. And then the victim would just be lowered. Yeah, yeah, basically. Okay, so if you've ever seen the movie Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. She's a man. Right when they find that out, and they've got Jim Carrey or Ace in... dunking his head in the water... And he's tied to the rope and everything. That's dunking. So just kind of like a modern day view of what this is, except for they didn't just like fucking let him live.
Haha, ha, super funny.
Yeah, it's not. This wasn't funny. This wasn't funny. This was not meant to be a funny thing.
They would drop the chair with the witch on it into the river, and let it sit until they were like, maybe she's not dead. And then they would pick it back up.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, what he's saying is the chair wasn't raised until the victim was about to pass out.
Yeah.
So when they started seeing this, the kicking and the moving starting to slow down.
And they'd be like, okay. They'd let her catch a couple breaths and then.
Not even.
Right back
not
down.
Even. Just not even.
Back there, right even then.
So they would do that. They would raise the victim right before they passed out. Or sometimes they would. Okay, I give you that one. Sometimes they would and give the victim a chance to confess. Often some form of
you're
club.
You're gonna die either way.
Yeah, pretty much. If you confess to being a witch, you're gonna die, especially back then. Yeah.
And you're already marked as a witch. You're gonna die.
Yeah.
They're gonna kill you. They're just giving you a chance to. Man, I don't want to get off into that too far. Maybe we should do a whole show on that. We should do a whole episode on
that.
I'm
down with that.
Yeah,
this is another thing that was back in the 16th, 17th century. This is a huge thing back in the 16th century on going into the about mid-17th century. So there's that.
Yeah, people have always been afraid of things they don't understand.
Often some sort of plug or more simply a piece of fruit was placed in the victim's mouth. Or nose and nose beforehand, so they couldn't get a good breath before being dunked.
See, I didn't know that.
So basically, they're saying they would shove a sock in their mouth as they were dunking them. That way, when they pulled them back up, they weren't able to breathe enough to keep them alive or keep them conscious enough. If the victim confessed, they would likely still be killed. This method was widely used during the Spanish Inquisition in England, and in England and France. The victims were usually intermittently submerged for many hours until he or she revealed information or death had occurred. Ordeal by water began with the witch hunts of the 16th and 17th century. Like I just said, King James the Sixth of Scotland, later also James I of England, claimed in his Demonologue that Demonologi? That water was so pure an element that it repelled the guilty. Absolutely, Lee. We are talking about torture devices right now. While supposed witches were commonly tortured using this method, thieves and murderers could also be subjected to it in order to extract confessions. This is more common with other more sophisticated torture devices that were not present. Dunking was also used as punishment for common scolds.
Yes. Yeah, that was like a... Like, we're too poor to have anything really useful. So we're just going to fucking drown you. So, you know.
Yeah, pretty much.
You stole something? Ah, well. There's the water, bitch. I love that stigma of people thinking that water's pure and clean and it's going to clean your soul and stuff like that. I'd like to cover
that. I love the fact that, like that they thought that water was so pure that they needed to kill people in it.
Yeah, it's Romans. It was salt.
Where did they think the person was going that did the wrong? Even if they did do it, speaking on a religious behalf here, if they did do it, where did they think that that person was gonna go? They did the deed. You're not giving them the option to speak loudly on some kind of confession to whomever they believe in.
Yeah.
To be able to be released into the good side or the bad side.
I mean, all that was, man, was just the breakdown of society. People with too much power that thought if you didn't agree with them that you didn't deserve to live. And that's what that broke down to, and they turned it into a literal witch hunt. But... I don't know. But like I said, like for Romans, it was salt.
Mm-hmm.
It was salt. Salt was a purity thing, you know, and that's where you get the stigma. Salt like
wounds,
You know, if you, well, if you're not, but I'm talking about on a spiritual point, too. Like protection from evil and stuff.
Oh, that's like the Chinese with their incense.
A salt circle.
Their incense that they use, or the Indians that they use the incense.
Like people believe, you know like they believe if you spirits. If you made a circle of salt around you that the purity ghosts and demons couldn't pass over it.
Yeah, that was a witch thing as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember that from this little movie back in the day. Three Witches?
I don't know.
What? You don't remember Three Witches? Or what is it? You know what? That's my wife's favorite movie. Let me go ask her real quick.
Oh dear Lord. Bear with this guy.
What's that movie you like about the three witches and the sailor trials and stuff like that? Hocus Pocus.
Hocus Pocus. The Disney movie? Yeah. That's what you're fucking citing?
Hocus Pocus.
Oh, come on, man. Yes. Why don't you cite The Crucible or...
No, you know, okay, so like, I'm trying to make this more feasible for someone to understand. You know, you're talking about pouring the salt around to keep the evil out, blah, blah, blah. So if you recall from the movie Hocus Pocus,
mm-hmm.
they put themselves in a grave and they poured salt all around the grave to keep the witches from coming to get them.
Mm-hmm. And that's
that's the gist of it right there.
The hollowed ground. Yeah, I mean that's the basic belief is that
they couldn't come into churches, so on and so forth.
Yeah, anything touched by the devil.
Holy water, blah blah blah. That's where all that shit comes into play.
I'd like to talk about exorcism and stuff in an episode too. Like, have you ever watched any of those exorcism YouTube videos? It's wild.
No,
man.
not the YouTube videos, but I've definitely watched the movies based on true stories.
Oh man,
the exorcism of Emily Rose is my favorite one as well.
Ooh. Man, that's rough.
It's absolutely fucked.
And they play like the real audio recordings of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh,
yep.
That's some rough shit, man.
Absolutely.
Possessed by Legion, man. God.
Yeah. I couldn't imagine that.
Girl
so
took it on. But anyway.
But anyway, back into this. Yeah. We've got a couple more here we're gonna go through. If anybody in the chat has anything that they want to say about this. Please don't be afraid. Bring up a different
topic that you would like to talk about more.
Or yeah, that too. If you've heard something that you're fine. If you heard something that you need to a little more elaboration on, just go ahead and pop it in the chat. Talk to us. Let us know what you think.
It's like with Casey. Casey's like serial killers is his thing. Like, which is magic, and supernatural. Just basically anything supernatural is kind of my thing. Like,
yeah. By the way, guys, he's literally saying supernatural because he loves the show. He has 17 tattoos of the shit that they
have
in that
show. I have one tattoo of supernatural. The other one is a witch's knot. Has nothing to do with the TV show, thank you. That's like a family heirloom kind of thing, I guess. I don't know.
Is why he wants so badly to get into this witch's stuff, because he knows so much about it, even though some of the torture devices he didn't even know were being used in it.
I knew what the pair was. I just didn't know what it was called. Like, when I saw it, you were right. When I saw it, I was like, oh yeah, they put that in people's butts. I've seen that before. Yeah, totally.
Okay, so we've also got some, basically, boiling to death, which we've talked about already with the brazen bowl, and what's this, the one that's like the chokey. And then we've got freezing to death. So in the winter, a naked victim was forced to stand outside in full view of everybody. Slowly, the torturer would pour water on the victim's head, which they would eventually become popsicle, basically. They would freeze them, making them die slowly and painfully. Sometimes the body was left for the whole winter to terrify the population and dissuade anyone from committing any further crimes.
Yeah. Crime being disagreeing with the person in charge.
Basically. Literally, guys. We'll get into that. I'm sure we'll have an episode on lawful good and lawful bad.
How dare you learn how to read or...
Yeah.
Or argue with me why the Bible's in Latin and not in any other language when nobody except the church can read Latin.
Yep. Yeah, pretty much. How dare you not want to learn English? So burning was another one. So in the summer, this is the complete and total opposite of freezing to death. This was burning to death. In the summertime, they would coat the person with a mixture of boiling water and oil, strip them naked before they did so, obviously, and then put them out in the sun, and then they would burn them.
It's kind of like where tar and feather came from, I'm assuming.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like it. I wouldn't disagree, not knowing. And then you get into things like life burial. So the basically the name implies what it is. This method consists of exposing a victim to the elements. The victim could be buried up to his neck, letting any animals, insects, or other people that'd be fucked up slowly kill him. Yeah. Could you imagine that, just being buried in the middle of a town and having somebody walk by and kick you in the fucking jaw?
It's like, yeah. Hey, you're at $20 you owe me?
It's pretty much.
Oh, fuck you.
Oh, God, could you imagine being that guy?
Fuck you, Kevin. Piece of shit. Oh, my God.
Imagine being buried out there where they have, like, bull ants and shit like that. Oh, my God, dude.
And not being able to do anything, that would be the worst part.
Yeah, like, literally, you're moving, you're trying to move your arms and shit. Yeah, dude. So a good example of that one from another movie is Wild Wild West. Or...
God, that's been so long.
Or, when they get dropped down into the fucking clay and they were stuck down there with their head stuck up above the clay literally anything could have got them. Or a better one was, oh god damn it, Lone Ranger, thank you. Johnny Depp and fucking what's his face. But he got buried up to his neck.
Johnny played in it.
Johnny played in it. By the way, guys, Johnny did win that case, and they are starting another Pirates of the Caribbean movie. supposedly. So if you guys are ready for that.
You're really bad
at it. Here we go. So I was super excited about that because I also today or yesterday they put in one of the other Pirates of the Caribbean movies on Disney Plus.
God, dude. The last one, though. I'm not even gonna lie, dude. I cried.
Yeah, it was pretty
sad. He's my favorite character. I don't get me wrong. Jack Sparrow's amazing. But, oh, God. Pirates Life Hector. I was like, no.
It's not over yet.
Son of a bitch.
But anyway, rumor has it. That there will be another one. Okay, so that's Burial.
Anyway, sorry. You're a little emotional with this piece.
Restraint is another one that they used. They would, in some town, there were chairs, stocks, or ropes used to quickly restrain people outside. In very severe cases, the victims would simply be left to die of hunger or thirst.
Exposure. Yeah, that'd be a rough way to go.
But had a few drinks tonight. In addition to regular restraint, the gibbet, or the large basket made of iron or metal with holes. I don't know if you guys... Okay, going back to that fucking movie I said like 10 minutes ago. Bewitched? No, not Bewitched. Fucking, what was it? The goddamn witch movie?
Hocus Pocus,
thank you. I told you, I had a few drinks, man.
Bette Midler.
Shut up. Anyway, Hocus Pocus. So when the dude takes the Nikes off the dude's feet that were originally his Nikes. Anyway, that is a gibbet.
Yeah.
Just kind of like a visual.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Thank you. Just kind of like a visual fucking picture for you guys. That's what a gibbet is. It's basically a giant metal bird cage for a person. But not only with large enough holes for arms and legs to fit through, but not for an entire body to fit through. So they'd be hung from a pole with a person inside it. During hot days, the metal would heat up, causing pain. During cold days and nights, the chill was, as well as the lack of protection from the wind, could easily sap a victim's body heat. The holes in the grating were also big enough to allow carrion birds and the occasional rat to enter and pluck at the victim's skin and eyes.
Oh, God.
Oof. So, that goes back to, like, crucifixion. During crucifixion, they would stab their victims underneath their rib cage and let them bleed out slowly, or they would leave them hanging on the cross and let carrion birds or crows... basically eat their victim's eyes and lips and nose.
I mean, I couldn't imagine that, having not the strength nor the ability to fight off something that was doing that to you. Like,
could you imagine how helpless you would feel during that? Oh my God.
It makes my eyes hurt, dude, just thinking about it. Like, that's rough. You know, a lot of people think when you start talking about crucifixion, like, oh, here comes a religion. No, crucifixion was a legitimate torture, and it was terrible. And the Romans used that for years and years, and I mean, like, that's a rough way to die.
Yep. They also used this one for years and years and years. Use. This is actually a type of torture. So using someone... whether it be hanging them and leaving their bodies hung, strung in the streets for people to see, using the gibbet to leave them out there for people to see whether they were dead or alive. Sometimes they would not kill them in the gibbet, by the way, guys.
It'd be psychological.
After killing them, they would put their head on the stake. So.
This was
a medieval European torture. The victim's remains were often served as a warning to the population. In many cases, the victims were sentenced to a short period of exposure, depending on the crime, which means they weren't always dead. However, death was frequent since they were completely defenseless.
I feel like I read
something. Oh, God, no.
They had to stop doing that because of, because they were leaving bodies out with, like, with the Black Plague and stuff like
that.
It wasn't helping at all.
That was the thing. Okay, what is that fucking movie? Do you remember the movie where the dude put a rat in a bucket and then heated up the bucket?
That was, I'm not even, I, you know what?
You know what I'm talking about, though, right?
Yes, I do. It's called, it's Too Fast, Too Furious.
Is that what it was?
It was Too Fast, Too Furious. It was that in Spanish dude.
Okay, so this one here,
on the dude's stomach,
this one here,
bucket on top.
This one here is from that movie. Just for a visual kind of thing for you guys. Brown rats. A cheap and effective way to torture somebody with the use of rats. Okay, that sounded like a commercial, right? There were many variants, but the most common was to force a rat through the victim's body. Usually the intestines, as a way to escape. The victim would be completely restrained and tied down to the ground or bed, and the torturer would cut slits into the victim's stomach. The torturer would use a bowl to trap the rat on the victim's stomach, then place hot coals on top of the bowl. The rat would get too hot, and after a few seconds, would enter the victim's stomach, gnawing through the intestines, usually resulting in a few hours of pain for the victim, and almost always resulted in death. So, like I said, from the movie Too Fast, Too Furious.
That's rough.
But yeah,
Do you imagine feeling that?
No, I can't. I don't want to.
Dig around in your guts.
I don't want to. I don't even want to think about it right now. That is rough. Absolutely fucking rough.
Oh, man. But the chopping the heads off and putting them on steak made me think of Vlad.
You know, they actually used sexual assault for a type of...
Yeah, I would imagine. That'd be a pretty rough type of torture.
Yeah.
Mental, physical, emotional. Yeah, that'd be pretty rough torture right there.
Yep, they used physical assault on men, women, children, anybody that decided they wanted to steal. Anybody that they, you know, just said they did something and they just wanted to have sexual intercourse with them, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
They'd kill them afterwards, so they couldn't tell anybody.
A lot of this goes back to surreal law.
Yeah.
Too. They still use a lot of that stuff, man. Well, the basis is there for the use of it, like getting your hand chopped off when you get caught stealing, stuff like that. You know, stoned to death. They still do that to people, guys.
So I was gonna look up this thing called the Palestinian chair, but Wikipedia got rid of it. So we probably don't want to get into that one.
No, but damn it, we're talking about torture. I'm talking about Vlad. I know you've heard me say his name three times now.
I did.
Vlad. Vlad the Impaler.
Vlad the Impaler.
You guys don't know who Vlad the Impaler is. His other name is Vlad Dracul.
Vlad Dracul.
Dracula.
Cock and ball torture.
Guy.
What?
This is the guy.
Oh my God! No, I don't want to. No. Oh my God! Do that. I don't want to do
this. Okay, look, Vlad. We're gonna talk about it, but after that, okay. Vlad used to torture his victims in the most terrible way that I could imagine. He would take his men would take and make gigantic stakes, gigantic ones, and the pointy on the end, and they would. For lack of a better word, lube them up. And some of these guys were still alive when this happened, and they would...
What the fuck?
Impale his enemies on these gigantic stakes, starting at the anus all the way through, and then line them... Down like a road, a walkway, something like that. Vlad Dracul, Vlad the Impaler, was. I mean, this is that's why he's so famous. That's why there's movies about him. That's why you know, you got so many stories about him because he was gruesome. He used to eat dinner in this gigantic hall with the bodies of all his enemies sitting around him, dead bodies. Like, he would take, if they didn't have the body, they just had the head, he would take a steak, they would take steaks, put them in the chairs, and just prop their heads up on the steaks. Like, he was gruesome. and terrible. And that's why he got so famous. Like, didn't nobody want to? Everybody was scared of him. It's just really fun to talk about him. I'm super excited about everything we've been talking about tonight. I really enjoy talking about old Tommy stuff, you know, history and stuff like that. It's one of my favorite things, history and science. So a lot of times, guys, if we don't just have anything really planned out to talk about, that's one of the two things we're going to be talking about, I promise. In my opinion, I think those are the two best subjects to talk about. But if you guys have anything to talk about, any kind of topics you guys want to see us cover, you can type it in the chat. You can message us on Facebook, and we'll do a whole episode on it, if it's worth our time. we want to, you know, interact with you guys and give you guys what you want to hear, or, you know, stuff that you would enjoy. Yeah, you're good. We're waiting on Abner. When Abner comes back, we're going to talk about torture of the genital type. I'm not too excited about that, just to be honest.
Okay.
Genital torture is always fun. Just do it with a friend.
Yeah, just do it with a friend.
Yep. Torture your genitals. It's rough.
Sorry, I just shut the door.
I want the kids to hear about this.
Yeah, no, I don't. So, the thing with this one, I don't know why it intrigued me so much. Maybe because of the name. So, the title of this one is called Cock and Ball Torture. There's literally, like, you've got something called a ball stretcher, ball crusher.
Whoa.
The parachute.
That's already bad.
The parachute.
Already started out bad.
You've got chastity piercings. Oh, God. Humbler. Most of these are BDSM things that people actually do nowadays. Like, people are doing them right now as we speak. These were actually used as forms of torture. Oh my God. Urethral insertion. Ball busting, which is a practice of kicking, kneeing, or punching. Trying to cause blunt trauma or testicular rupture.
Oh. Mm. See, I've actually researched that before. That's still in my head.
Whew.
I knew a guy who actually, that actually happened. He actually ruptured one of his testicles, and it was...
That is rough. Okay, I'm not sure I want to get into this one, guys. I just... I'm super uncomfortable with it, okay? Okay. Super uncomfortable. Those are different types of forms of male genital or cock and ball torture. So if you want to look that up, you have fun with that. It's a little...
I'm not doing it, okay? Look, I had a friend talk me into looking at the BME Pain Olympics one time.
Oh, God, never, dude.
Never again.
Oh, my God.
Never again will I. Like, that's some rough stuff, guys. Like, that's... Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. But you missed talking about Vlad.
So, no. I was listening in. I just wasn't talking. I was making a drink.
Oh, okay.
So, there's this thing called the tramp chair. It was invented in the early 19th century, and used by American police. The tramp chair was a cage made of bent or riveted metal straps in the shape of a chair. An individual could be placed inside the chair and locked up securely. The chair, thus acting as a jail cell, particularly in the towns too small to build a jail, was placed on a wheeled platform so it could be moved around easily. As its name suggests, the tramp chair was often used for vagrants who could be left inside it for a day or two with as encouragement to move along. Made of iron, it could heat up or cool down uncomfortably. So basically, it's a chair-shaped gibbet that the American police would use back in the early 19th century to let people know that they... that this person had done wrong. It wasn't something that was meant to kill people, but it's definitely this is in the 19th century. This is where everybody started to modernize out of torture. So mm-hmm. You got to think that the severity of the torture is actually going to go down. But it was meant to be so small that there was no room to move around. It was supposed to be very uncomfortable and to be set there for 56 fucking hours, something like that. I don't know. Bad math.
Yeah.
Right
wait,
now.
Wait. For like 72. 2 days, you said?
Yeah. 24, 48, 72 hours, something like that.
Yeah. That sounds about right. That's a big drink.
Shut up.
If you guys don't know, me and Amner are actually on a video chat. Now, eventually, I would let you at the point where we could share video with you guys. But I didn't do my face up this evening, so I'm not pretty enough. But eventually that would be a fun thing, I feel like.
So, I mean, yeah, that'd be definitely fun. But, I mean, so this tram chair was basically a gibbet made to strip someone naked, put them in the middle of the street, make them as uncomfortable for the most long amount of time or prolonged stretch of time as possible.
These people just walk by.
This,
look at his waiter.
This is actually, this is actually something that is in the American Police Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame. Listen to that again, guys. This is how fucked up we as Americans are. That torture device is in the American Police Hall of Fame. Often the prisoner was stripped naked and the kids from the area would poke him with sticks. What?
Hey, guys, let's go. You guys want to...
What? Who does that?
Poke the guy in the chair?
So for everybody just tuning in, we are talking about medieval torture devices.
Oh my God,
the 19th century isn't quite medieval. This is kind of where we're starting to get out of the medieval torture devices. We have been through quite a few of them. If anybody has anything they would like to hear talked about, definitely bring it up in chat right now. We will talk about it.
Yes,
obviously, you
this
have...
torture is getting rough.
It's starting to get
starting
rough.
To get
how about you, Tommy? Do you have anything?
Do I have anything?
Yeah,
honestly, I was enjoying talking about the witches and the supernatural stuff when
we
started getting off
into
that. But I really don't want to change into that. I'd like to do an episode about that.
Yeah, we're gonna do something on that. So let's.
I was just a joke. Like I'm enjoying talking about the. I'm not genuinely enjoying it, but
yeah,
it's a good
this is great, guys. I was just talking about.
Yeah, the rat was rough. The rat's still sticking with me.
That made me sick to my stomach when I took that drink. I want you to know that.
The rat was.
Oh God.
Was rough.
Okay, so I'll go into a little bit more of this then. The thumb screw. This one I actually recognize. The thumb screw is a torture instrument which was first used in early modern Europe. It is a simple vice.
Oh.
Sometimes protruding with studs on the interior surfaces. Surfaces. Victims' thumbs, fingers, or toes were placed in the vise and slowly crushed. The thumb screw was also applied to crush prisoners' big toes. The crushing bars were sometimes lined up with sharp metal joints to puncture the thumbs and inflict greater pain on the nail bed. So basically, if you've ever smashed your thumb and you've had to heat up a needle to release the blood or the pressure underneath the nail... That's basically what this was, except for it wasn't heated up and it was just being pressed through.
That makes my fingers hurt, dude.
It makes my fingers hurt, too. I'm literally, like, scraping my nails right now.
I do that right now. I'm biting my nails. Oh, my God.
So, there was larger and heavier devices based on the same design principle, which were applied to crush feet and hands. Mm. Oh, that's rough stuff, guys. So the thumb screw. The thumbscrew is also referred to as the thumbkin or the thumbykin. In 1675 to 1685, the kin part being a diminutive suffix of nouns. An alternate spelling was thumbykins. The terms pillywinks and pilneywinks were also used. Other terms may have been applied as well. Historians James Cochran and LeBron James. It's not the LeBron you're thinking of. Wrote in 18...
How old is he?
Illuminati. LeBron James wrote in 1833 that the torture of the boots occurred, which was the feet back in the day, occurred at an earlier period of our history that than that of the thumbykins. Thus, we read that in 1596, the son and daughter of Alison Bulfer, who was accused of witchcraft, were tortured before her to make her confess her crime in the manner following. Her son was put in a buets, where he suffered 57 strokes. What the fuck?
How would you live?
Obviously it's her son, so he's young. 57 strokes. Her daughter of about 7 years old was put in a pillnywinks. In the same case, mention was made, besides McKinsey's criminal law conjectures, that these may have been the only other names for the boots and thumbykins. Thus... I don't know if they would have been strokes.
Put her kids in that?
No. Her kids were put in it to make her confess of witchcraft.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they used her kids for that.
Wow.
Her daughter of about 7 years old was put into a pillnywinks in the same case mentioned was made. Besides pillnywinks, of Caspitanos or Caspicaws, and the Tossets. Okay, these are words that I obviously have no idea how to pronounce, guys. So if you hear me saying them wrong, please let me know. We do have the Facebook page up and running. We have it on the Spotify. We have it right here in the chat. If you hear me saying it wrong right here on the live feed, let me know. I will correct it. As instruments of torture. Yeah, you can definitely message us on Facebook. Lord Royston, in his manuscript, notes upon McKinsey's criminal law conjectures, yeah. That's the word I'm looking for. That these may have been only other names for the Buets and the Thumbykins. Thus, much seems certain that in those times there was some torturing device applied to the fingers which bore the name of the Pillnywinks. But it was immediately it will immediately appear that it was the most authentic accounts assigned the fucking Christ, dude.
I'm lost, man. So what is it? You covered what it did, right?
Yeah, let's move on.
We're good.
There was a story behind it, and I wanted to tell this story so fucking bad, but I got confused in it.
Well, I was good after you know, the witch story. I was like, oh, wow. I was like, so what other torture device? You know, these torture devices were crazy.
Denailing was actually something.
Denailing? Oh, God. Yeah, dude, the CIA still does that to this day.
Denailing is the extraction of the nails from the fingers and or toes, either as a medical procedure to treat severe nail infections, or as a method of torture.
Some movies where they take new no pliers just...
Yep, go rip them off. Yep. Yep. The United Nations Istanbul Protocol describes nail removal and the insertion of objects such as wire underneath the nails as forms of torture. Mm-hmm. Removed nails are capable of growing back normally. over several months if the nail matrix is left intact. So basically the nail matrix, guys, if you don't know what that is if you've ever had a fingernail fall off or if you've ever broken nail completely off, the nail matrix is that hard but yet soft kind of feeling skin that's left underneath your nail. That's your nail matrix. And that goes all the way underneath the cuticle. That's where the keratin actually comes from your body and creates the nail itself. However, if the nail matrix is damaged by trauma, it can result in overgrowth of the tissue of the proximal nail fold, which is, again, in that area, resulting in the formation of the word. Particularly if the nail matrix is burnt by heated instruments, the subsequent growth may produce nails which are striped or stripped thin or broken into longitude segments. So if you've ever come across anybody and you shook their hand and they had a half a fingernail, that's probably what happened to them, is that their nail matrix got damaged in the process of doing what they were doing, whether it be having an accident at work, smashing the finger, burning it, something of the sort. Medieval sources described this exquisite torture.
Exquisite.
Which begins by securing the prisoner's face upward to a tabletop, fixing their hands by chains or ropes around the wrist and bare feet. Also around the ankles, metal forceps or pliers, often heated to red hot. Oh, God! Would be used to individually grasp each nail in turn and slowly pry it from the nail bed before tearing it free from the digit. Ow. I'm done with that one. That makes my teeth hurt.
Yeah, now I don't even want to talk about... we're coming up on an hour and a half anyways, but I really don't want to get into teeth pulling.
Oh, yeah. So tarring and feathering is one.
Oh, well, yeah, it probably stems from the getting old and, well, they set them on fire, though, when you put them in, out there.
Yeah. It's rough. And this tarring and feathering was issued.
I was not ready to get into this.
To the Navy on into the Navy in 1189.
When it, like, for deserters and mutineers.
This was the term of a thief or a felon that had stolen, being lawfully convicted.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course they were. Yeah, super hardcore lawful back then.
Oof. They would have a boiling pitch poured on their head and feathers or down strawed upon them. The same whereby he may be newen, which means basically, guys, that this was hot tar being poured onto somebody's body, scalding them and scarring them for life, and the feathers down would be stuck in their skin for life. So that's literally the original tarring and feathering. It's not what you guys think, you know, you're fucking throw some cool tar on somebody or some oil or something on them and slap them with a fucking feathered pillow. That shit was real.
That shit would be stuck in their skin.
It was literally in their skin. Here you go. German-American farmer John Minnitz of Luverne, Minnesota, was tarred and feathered in August 1918 during World War I for allegedly not supporting the war bond drives. And they have a photo of the man. And it's rough. We'll just say that. It's rough. So tarring and feathering is not something to fuck around with, guys.
I want to see. Hold on. What's his name?
John Meintz. JohnMeintz. German-American farmer. Here, I'll just send you the link real quick.
I'm here.
Oh, did you find him?
I think M-E-I. Oh, that is rough looking.
You see it?
It's actually stuck in there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's tarring and feathering wasn't something to be played around with. Like, it wasn't. It's not meant to be a fucking joke. But it is nowadays. Like, the American culture is so fucked up.
Yeah, that's stuck to him.
No, it's not stuck to him. It's stuck in him. but yeah, that was meant to be basically public humiliation for doing something of wrongdoing towards. Looks like it was started in the Navy, so against or for the military with or against. I don't know what the fuck yeah, I just probably. Said. So
I don't know. It's about that time though.
Yeah,
it's coming up so, an hour and a half.
But yeah, that's basically all we have tonight, guys. I wish next time, or I hope next time, that we can get more people in here, we can get them a little more interactive with it, that we have more subjects to talk on. So, who knows? Tommy, why don't you sing us out, brother?
Sing us out? Oh man, come on, now don't do me like that.
Well, I mean, don't Casey's not that. Here, so I he know. Can't play us out. So what did you expect? I can't fucking sing.
We can't be singing nothing. Copyright. Get in trouble for that. I'm monetized, baby.
I'm pretty sure you have some songs that you have wrote personally, so shut the fuck up and sing one.
None of that. I don't have none of those. I don't know what you're talking about. Nope. Sorry, guys. That's not how this works. It's not how this works.
I feel like that's how it works. Give them a little taste. Give them a little taste.
We're on Apple.
Give them a little taste.
Apple Podcast.
Taste
we're on
taste.
Google Podcast. Okay.
Give them
Spotify.
A taste of that sweet nectar. Come on.
Oh, man.
They haven't heard you yet. On any of these episodes, they have not heard you sing yet. Give them a reason to look Tommy Spivey up.
One thing just goes better when you mix it with whiskey. Yeah. That's terrible. I'm done.
It wasn't that bad.
When you mix it with whiskey. You got that song stuck in my head all night.
No, you got it stuck in my head. You made me look it up. But anyway, guys, we appreciate everybody coming out to the live feed. You guys are absolutely amazing. You can check us out on the Facebook page at www.facebook.com/juststuff. We are the Galaxy. Yep. You know, picture with Just Stuff on us. You can find us on Apple Music. You can find us on Anchor. You can find us on Spotify. You can find us on Google Play. You can find us on a bunch of different other sites. Be sure to tune in next Saturday when we do this at 11 p.m. Central Standard Time. You can always join us directly during the live reel of it here on mixer.com/HK_studman. And try to get in the chat, and you may say something in there that I find interesting and may bring up during one of the episodes. So,
yeah, guys, you could be on Spotify.
I want to thank everybody for coming out tonight and showing the support that they did. I want to thank Tommy for allowing me to be a part of such a great adventure with him, guys. Tommy Spivey, let's give him a hand.
Adventure,
you know,
craziness. Love it.
So that's Tommy Spivey, your magnificent host of it all right there. And I am Amber Murphy, coming at you with your co-host. And I did come up with the topic tonight. So if we have another one of these and nobody shows up, guess who's coming up with the next topic?
It's going to be me. I think next week. I really want to do the Salem Witch Trials now. Like,
you
want to
do that?
That really got me going.
So next week, guys, stay tuned. We may be doing the Salem Witch Trials instead of whatever the fuck we told you at the beginning of the episode. So.
Oh wait! Did we say we're gonna do one or two? I want to do an episode on the Salem Witch Trials 100%. It had to be next week. That's right.
Yeah.
It was either depression. We were gonna talk about depression
or
bipolar disorder stuff like that. Yeah. Or we were gonna talk about streamers.
Or streamers,
which
there
I think
you
would be super fun. Streamers, YouTubers, just you know, the ups and downs of like how hard it is actually, because a lot of people don't think it's that hard, but it is.
Okay.
And there's work that you have
you
to put
have
into
no
it.
Idea.
And
you guys have absolutely.
We're gonna talk
no
about
idea.
That, but I'm really leaning towards that being the episode next week. That's probably what we're gonna talk about next week. Actually,
all right, guys. Well, we appreciate you all coming out. We appreciate everybody coming out. We appreciate everybody tuning in. We love you guys, and we will see you again next week. This episode will be up Tuesday on the edited version on Spotify for everybody that's listening live. At the latest, which means no later than Tuesday, it will be up.
I know.
So hopefully Monday night it will be up. So give it a listen right there on Spotify, Apple Music, or anything that you have, any kind of a podcast listening device or application that you have. Give us a like and give us a share. Let your friends know that we are out here and we are doing it real. You guys have a great night.
Bye. Good night. Bye, y'all. Bye-bye.